Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 136, episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. It's Thursday, June 4th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the Baja Blaster of Disaster. Let's go with that. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. if your news is not using the words white supremacy and capitalism in their coverage of anything, I don't know if they are actually able to diagnose the problems. If we're not using the right words to identify the problems, we will not be able to solve them. And we'll get into that. But I am, we just have to get into the news. There's a different energy with what's happening right now that I'm constantly amazed at how, again, white supremacy has to sort of reform itself to be able to maintain its power. And you see that in the news coverage, and you see that with the just unchained the aggression coming from the police. It's a lot. So join us on this journey.
It is a lot.
Pick apart just how bad things are.
And we are thrilled to have in our third seat one of my favorite stand-up comedians, one of the funniest humans working currently. She is the hilarious, the talented Dulce Sloan.
Hello, friend. I feel like you were flirting with me, and I accept it. even though in these troubling times, I don't know if I should accept affection from a white man. But, you know, tomato, fair. Got to work in the community. hello, everyone.
Yeah.
How is everyone doing?
Oh, you know.
You know. It's bad. It's bad.
It's bad. I'm doing bad. I think this is the time that we're allowed to say when someone's like, hey, how's it going? You're allowed to be like, bad, and not be, one of the neurotic, considered neurotic.
Yeah, this is the time where black people have got their very worried white friends just being like, are you good? Are you good? Miles, I don't know who your people are. People hitting you up for half of you?
I'm black and Japanese. And you know I'm getting those texts. And what the funny thing is, I scroll up, the last fucking thing they text me, they were asking me for something. That's what it's like. That's the thing. Right. And that's the thing I want people to, like, that's the thing. I'm like, I understand. Thank you. Like, if that helps you feel better about your privilege to check on me, and that feels like a way to, you know, handle that, fine. But my God, man, black people have had plenty of time to carve up and analyze what's been going on. The murder of David McAtee, that man who owns the barbecue shop in Louisville, particularly, yeah, is heartbreaking. My grandfather, who, you know, his family moved from the South to Chicago. He came from Chicago out to LA looking for work because of the war effort. A tax-paying black man who served his country, entrepreneur who had to do everything on his own. My grandfather used to own a barbecue restaurant, Slauson and Overhill in LA. And people knew in the neighborhood, he was good with people because he saw him making barbecue as a way to feed his community. It wasn't for profit. Those margins are razor thin. That's not to go ball out. He did it because that's an expression of our love for each other too, is through us providing for each other and cooking for each other. And I know during the riots, in 92, he was worried about his place, but things were okay, thank God. But I just think about this other man, a grandfather, a black man in the street, who police seem to know his restaurant too, is just murdered.
It was like, because I was like, why are you shooting? Because the story I got was somebody was shooting at the police. They shot back, and it was an innocent bystander situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't him. Like, he wasn't, because he wasn't protesting. It was like, he wasn't protesting. It was an innocent bystander situation. And I'm always like, stray bullets always seem to catch good people. Mm-hmm. They never seem to catch the awful dude.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, you know, Hitler got hit by a stray bullet?
Right. But I guess if you are the awful dude, the bullet's not stray. Like, I don't understand.
Right.
What happens? Like, if you're shooting at the cops and you get shot, you're just like, all right, you earned that the right way. But if you're, you know, just a, like, the stray bullet has always been a weird kind of thing where it's just like, you're never going to catch a dude who was, you know, a horrible person. You know, it was, you know, kicking puppies and hurting kids and all this other stuff like that. Right. Like, stray bullets go around him.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if the evil protects you. Like, I don't know what the philosophy of the stray bullet is, but I can be thankful that my white friends who have hit me up to ask if I'm all right, it's not the, are you all right? Well, what can I do? It's not those two.
Because
some people either get the, it's kind of like as a comic when you book something. Like, when I got Daily Show, there's three types of people that hit you up.
Oh, shit.
There's the, oh my God, congratulations, and that's the end of the sentence. And then there's, oh, congratulations, how did you book that? And then there's just the people that are just like, oh, hey, well, how'd you book this? Okay, cool. You just said congratulations, we're friends. Congratulations on how you booked this, we're friends, but you're an ass. If it's just how did you book this, I'm going to block you on social media.
Right.
Like, and so it's the same thing. It's how are you? Done. How are you? What can I do? Done. What can I do? First of all, quit asking us.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we've been peacefully protesting, but then it's because I'm very much over the, well, if they would have done it this, listen,
no. Right.
Listen, there is plenty of footage. We've all seen Eyes on the Prize. We all went to high school. We all found out what happened. I'm really to the point where I'm just like, I'm going to need white people to stop talking about Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Because what you're doing is using Martin Luther King to silence us. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing on the, he wouldn't want the riots. He wouldn't want the riots. And then it's like, oh, this is what we're going to do. Fine. And then you send them the clip of Martin Luther King doing a speech saying that riots are the language of the unheard. So now you don't have a rebuttal because right. it was, well, Martin Luther, and I was like, no. Let's not guess what he would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you an actual clip of what the man said. Because I don't know if you saw on Twitter where people were white-splaining to Bernice King.
Oh, my God, yeah.
About what her father would have done. And she was like, my father peacefully protested and y'all assassinated him.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already told us what happens when we peacefully protest. We did sit-ins at lunch counters and we were attacked. We peacefully protested across the bridge. That was a massacre. We had a whole town set up in Tulsa, Oklahoma because you wouldn't leave us alone. You burned the city down. May 31st to June 1st, that was 99 years ago. So all of the times where we've gone by your rules, fine. You don't want us to live near you? We'll make our own town. Oh, these Negroes are successful? Burn it down. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want us to peacefully protest? We did all of this. Let's attack them with dogs and fire hoses. So we are trying to follow the rule. You're giving us the guidelines of what we have to do for you. Acknowledge us as human beings and acknowledge our rights. And it's still, we didn't do.
That's the thing, because I think, right, they're trying to say, well, these are the rules to getting what you want. But see, we played by the rules, and we're not getting it's not even what we want. It's what we're owed. It's what we deserve as human beings.
But when the people who make the rules will always be able to change the rules.
Then fuck the game. Then we'll play a different one.
So my thing is now, stop asking us. You want to know what you can do for me as a black person to change things? Call your dad. Call your dad, call your uncle, call your auntie, call mm-hmm. all of those people that are the reason that you don't go home for Thanksgiving. Because all of those people are the ones saying all lives matter and more care about a target on fire than a man with than a policeman's knee on his neck. Stop asking us. We didn't start this problem. Because
mm-hmm.
how can an abuser look at the victim and turn to the victim and say, tell me how to stop abusing you? How does that make sense? Black people have spent our whole lives, we've been taught generation after generation after generation how to navigate through white folks to survive. And this is the time for white people to teach white people how to navigate through us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We played by the rules and you keep changing them.
Right.
So I'm going to, then the rule maker need to talk to the rule maker. Because obviously you're not listening to us because you can watch all these videos and not care. Well, what did he do wrong? He existed. There was anything he couldn't have done right. So I'm not playing this game no more. Because the only reason buses got desegregated is because the Montgomery bus system was about to go bankrupt. They didn't change their minds about us. They didn't make us people. It was 18 months and it was running out of money. Some man needed to send his child to college. It was either he can't go to school or these Negroes get to say whatever they want on this bus. Wasn't about us.
Mm-hmm.
All these changes haven't been about us. You messed their money up. My mama told me as a kid, you want to change stuff? Mess up D white man money and stuff will change. It's not about us. It's not about acknowledging the humanity in us. That's not necessary. That's not the point. You burn hot Target don't seem to care. Why you care?
Right.
Right.
I'm not playing this game no more.
Because white people don't want to believe that things could actually be that bad. And so it's easier to just be like, oh, well, it can't be that. It can't be that black people in this country have experienced white supremacy and oppression so bad that this is what it's led to. That can't be. That's like this self-preservation shit again, because if you have to really look white supremacy in the eye, that's when you can begin to be like, ooh, that maybe we can fix something about it. But when you don't talk about it, it's easy to just move on because you don't have to talk about the problem. And I think it's really, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll have a guest on later to just kind of talk about sort of what's going on the ground and ways to constructively move forward. But I, you know, like I said in the episode yesterday, for all the allies posting those black squares, keep that black square energy up 3 weeks from now, 3 months from now, 3 years from now.
Keep the same energy. Like,
if I don't see that energy up, you're the worst kind of fucking person there is, because you are just posturing to try and comfort us. Like, I'll feel better when I see action. And again, I get what you're trying to do, but
mm-hmm.
the thing is, in the street, I still see people who I could look at as being my own grandfather get murdered for nothing. That's
my grandfather owned a dry cleaner and fought for this country.
Yeah.
And came back. My grandfather fought World War II overseas and then came back and not been in, had to have his business in a specific place. I'm okay. It's okay to shoot at me and fight for this country. And then I come back and it's just like, why did I go? Well, why did I go? Because when the Navy recruiter was trying to talk to my brother, me and my mama shut that all the way down. No, you're not going to fight for a country that'll kill you. That sounds wild. Jack, I mean, how you feeling? What you got to say, bud?
I was just going to say that the GI Bill was a specific instrument of redlining and white supremacy. The GI Bill after World War II, after black people fought for the country, they used the policies coming back from the war to specifically institute white supremacy.
But Jack, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how are you doing with this, right? Like, I know you're not a shitty white dude, because when I worked for you, you said, I don't want to hire a bunch of white guys here. And I've seen you, like, I know you to be a good, empathetic human being, but I'm curious because I only know it from the side of the oppressed person. And this whole weekend, I'm thinking, like, fuck, I'm Japanese, I'm black. I have, like, multiple examples to look at how the country just fucking body slammed me. And I'm curious what it is on the other side to have to say, you know, what is your experience like? Because the only experience I'm seeing from other people who are not black is, like, them getting together, marching, talking to each other or whatever. And I see the experience on that end, but I'm curious to know what the emotions are or what that experience is like, because this, you know, it seems like a lot of people are being a lot more introspective than normal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of introspection, a lot of rage, a lot of despair.
Despair about what? What are you mad about? What are you sad at? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I actually want to know.
Right. I mean, you know, the white supremacy in the country is something that I've been aware of for a long time and been pointing out for a long time, like to Miles's point on yesterday's episode. The Daily Zeitgeist, our show, has been pointing out there's white supremacy, there's examples of it, but what are we going to do about it? And despair, I guess, at looking at my own life and realizing that I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough other than pointing it out, basically. So trying to talk to my family about how we change how we're living our lives to not support the status quo as it exists, and then rage just at the status quo and the fact that this keeps happening. 6 years ago, the solution was, well, let's retrain the police. Let's, you know, not defund the police. Let's give them more funding to retrain the police, to get more, you know, resources and body cameras and shit like that. And that it just doesn't matter. I guess it's a feeling of hopelessness and just a feeling that how I've lived my life up to this point isn't, there needs to be more, a deeper change. So it's,
you know, I just want to point out from that standpoint, you know, you said you felt despair, and I don't think that's a proper emotion, in all honesty, for white people to feel about this, because you guys are at the wheel right now. You're at the wheel. We are not. We're asking the driver to drive us somewhere safe. And y'all are at the wheel.
They keep running off the road.
And that's why I don't mean like shame. You shouldn't feel despair, but I think any white person who feels despair, you should understand y'all have every reason to feel charged up right now. Because you can actually, there's a lot more you can do with your privilege and your place as the hegemonic class and race in this country to really do something. We are out here, we're on empty, but we still got the fucking pedal to the metal. And I don't know how there is more gas going into the engine, but we're doing it. The thing is, and this is what I was even saying last week, the way this puzzle is finished is by everybody else feeling the same way we do. And Black Death shouldn't be obscure to white people. And this is an exercise for anybody. Picture somebody in your family that died recently. I don't care what race you are. That shit hurt, didn't it? Tragic, unsudden, or an old age, whatever. It's a tragedy to have someone die in your life, a family member. Now imagine if that family member was killed. How worse would that feel? Probably worse, because that's a lot. You have a lot of time to wrap your head around illness and these other things, but to be tragically murdered, that's awful. That's a pain that not many people know, and not, I don't wish many people to know. Now add on top of that, that the people you know who killed your family member. Mm-hmm. And you're out there saying, I have video evidence of this man killing my family member. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have a legal system that looks at that evidence and says, I don't know, it looked like he had hypertension and possible intoxicants. And you tell me how that's supposed, and suddenly we're going to experience death differently? Fuck no. That shit is absolutely degrading every time it happens, and it still happens. That's why we are the ones that feel despair, because the facts are, we look at evidence of ourselves being killed all the time and not a fucking thing is happening about it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, white people have all the votes, have all the money, have all the fucking power. You could put all, you could put all your, you know, do some fundraising, whatever. I don't care what it is, but y'all have the power. That's not, you don't see black companies saying, you know, we're going to do our part to hire more white people. That's not that, because that's not the game. Y'all are running the game. So you, that's, so don't feel despair. Feel empowered now, because y'all got the fucking star in Mario with that white privilege. Now fucking run through these blocks and shit.
I'll say this. I can understand how you feel upset, because you feel like I'm one person trying to do some things, right? I'm trying to help. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to hire more black people. I'm trying to talk to my family. I'm trying to do all of these things. And you as one person feel like that you're doing the best that you can to try to help. But you know, you're just one person trying to do something, right? But you're not yelling, you're not screaming, you're not marching, and nobody's dying around you. So that feeling that you have, it's because I'm trying to fix it and nothing's changing, right? That little feeling. I'm trying to fix it and nothing's changing. I'm doing whatever the little things that I can to try to fix it, right?
And realizing that I'm not doing enough.
Now take that feeling and apply it to an entire population of people who have been screaming for years, stop killing us. We're not asking, it's so that feeling, because one thing that white people have been able to do is they've been able to see that this is a problem, but they've not been able to feel anything that we've felt. So that feeling that you have of, I'm only this one thing that I'm trying to do, I'm trying to fix it, and I don't know what to do, and I keep trying, and I keep trying, and I'm banging my head against the wall. Now take that same feeling and then apply it to the entire time we've been here, at least since emancipation. So from 1865 till today, that feeling, and disperse it over every single black person who's ever lived in the United States. That small feeling that you have. Now add on institutional poverty, institutional racism, police brutality, a broken fucking justice system, and just people who are taught to be afraid of us. TV teaches them. And yet everything we create is every bit of a music that plays in America, we made it. We made it. Rock and roll, all of it, Little Richard, all of them. All we created everything that is quintessential America, right? When people think about American food, they think about Southern food that was made by my people. And yet we're told constantly we don't contribute. So you're telling me I'm not needed here. You're telling me I'm not wanted here, but you steal from us constantly. So you kill us to prove what you're saying. But then you also take everything we've ever created from us. And then we have the audacity to laugh and to yell and to celebrate and to be happy. So we continue to live while the majority population has worked very hard to destroy us. Because the main problem is, like I said, the abuser can't look at the victim and ask the victim how to tell them, how can I stop abusing you? The problem is, when you have these conversations, the same people that can type into the internet, all lives matter, are the same people that don't think that they're racist. Whenever we have this conversation about how to change things and how to make things different, right? No white person will say, I am part of the problem. That's what never happens. Nobody will acknowledge that they are the problem. We're all talking about these mythical white people that are the issue. Because every white person's like, well, I'm not, except it's the not ones me. That are flat out racist. Yeah. Some of them will be like, oh, now I don't fuck with them. I'll send them to jail. I don't care. But most of them have been taught you be racist and you be quiet about it. So how can you fix the system when the abuser won't acknowledge that they are abusing?
Right.
Yep.
That's the first thing that has to happen. You have to go, I am part of the problem. You can't be part of the solution if you are the one causing the problem. You can fix it. But how can you be part of the solution while denying the fact that the issue was initialized by everybody who looks like you? That's what has to happen. Before these black squares and before you keep this energy up and before you, it's, if this is going to get fixed, it is not our job to fix it. This is y'all. Because we didn't make this system. We didn't start this system. We don't work in this system. We didn't hop on them boats because we wanted to. We were kidnapped. And since then, we've been treated like we are owned. We always have. That's why white women call the police on black people, because they feel like that we are beholden to them. We have to answer for where we are if we are in their space.
Yeah.
We're in our own building and you're calling the cops on us.
Yep.
Bitch, I live here. I pay the rent here. But since you don't like me in this space, I can die?
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens when you call them. Like that heifer that called the cops on that man who was watching the birds. You saw in the video how she changed her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She knew exactly what to do. Didn't even have to think about it. And apparently I heard she Canadian. So she ain't even from here and she know the campaign.
Right. Because it's worldwide. And I think that's, you can see it all over the world too.
It's worldwide, because this is what the thing is. We can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm not wanted here. I'm not connected where I'm genetically from. I'm from here. But people can look me dead in my face and go, well, if you don't like this country, why don't you go back to Africa? I told this dude, if you don't like this country, why don't you go back to Europe? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, France, England, Ireland, Germany, all of them places are not the United States of America. We both got here on boats. So if I'm leaving, you leaving. Don't play with me.
Because
if we don't like the country, we can go back to Africa. If these white folks don't like this country, nobody's telling them to go back. Because they have innate ownership of this place. We literally built the fucking White House. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, we handed them the paper and the pen. I'm sorry, quill. So don't start with me.
Right.
We do this all day with y'all. And then they wonder why we don't. It seems like with this particular protest, all the black people finally figured out, you know what? They got to say something to each other because y'all have made it quite clear you're not listening to us. And I really have hope for these police officers that I see kneeling and doing all this other shit. I hope it's not a photo op. Because when I first started seeing it, I was like, okay, maybe things is changing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a whole group of people who have been trained to take orders. So it's, hey, we don't want no problems. Go out there and kneel. And the other one's like, fuck it. Cut them up. I don't know. I want to believe that these men and women are actually motivated and can actually see the humanity in us to kneel.
Yeah.
But what I know, if Shonda Rhimes and Scandal taught me anything, is that a photo op, optics are very important.
Yeah.
So I hope it's real. But at the same time, y'all have taught me the rules of the game since day one. So I know what the campaign is. I hope it's real.
Right.
Sorry, I rambled. Sorry.
Nah. And no, I think, and yeah, we're going to have Pastor Eddie Anderson on to talk a little bit more just about what to do with all this energy.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have Pastor Eddie Anderson on.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Miles, like I mentioned earlier, you've been talking about not just focusing on pointing out the problem, but also ways forward and a solution. And you were able to book a guest, Pastor Edward Anderson, Eddie Anderson, Pastor Eddie, who is going to help us talk about that. Yeah. Pastor Eddie, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on, Jack and Miles.
Yeah, anytime. You know, Pastor Eddie, like, you know, I got to you through other activists and organizers I know, so I'm very thankful to them for putting us in contact, because I think, you know, we have a responsibility as a show. Like, we do preach empathy, equality, and justice on this show, and I think now is the time where we have to begin giving people the tools they need to actually begin making those kinds of changes. So, you know, I wanted to bring you on because there was a lot of misconceptions about what happened in LA over the weekend in terms of peaceful protests and things like that. And you've helped organize those things. So, you know, we just want to give you the time to speak to everybody and give us a bit of wisdom right now and learn about what we can all do to kind of help push this thing forward and not let the flame die out.
Thanks, Miles. Yeah, I want to address protests on Saturday. So I work with Black Lives Matter as a pastor and advocate at Pastor Church in South Los Angeles, McCarty Memorial Christian Church. And the protest was organized by Bill Power and Black Lives Matter LA. Me and another pastor, Pastor Q, we led the protest, the march into the street, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's 5,000 people plus into the street. We march all the way from 3rd Street over there by the Grove, all the way down to La Cienega, crossed every intersection. As we were coming down the street, we saw people coming out of their businesses, clapping. We saw people honking their horns, people saying Black Lives Matter. We were clear, we was marching because of Black death, because George Floyd's life was killed and he was lynched in front of our eyes, but we also was marching for our Black future, that to claim that we have dignity and respect. So yes, as Black people, we have the right to be angry, we have the right to be mad, and we have the right to peacefully protest in the street. And so we prayed, we chanted, we chanted prosecute killer cops, we chanted defund the police, we chanted George Floyd's name, Breonna Taylor's name. We prayed in the street, we said the Asada. After we said the Asada, which is, you know, we have nothing to lose but our chains, we must love and protect one another, we started walking back down the street, me and the other pastor who led the protest, and what we saw unravel before our eyes was police brutality. We saw cops coming down the street in armored trucks with riot gear and guns ready to go, batons, a standoff being set up. We saw a cop car on fire at 3rd and Fairfax, but when we just crossed that street about 30 to 45 minutes before, there was no cop car there. Right. And so we're saying, you know, you come to people with riot gear, batons, and rubber bullets, you will incite a riot. Right. You will change the energy.
Well, what do you expect? Yeah. Do you think in a way, like, police are dressed like that because they almost know their own karma?
Yeah.
Like they are almost like, man, if they're as mad as I would be for treating these people, I would pull up in tanks too.
Yeah. I mean, I think police they know that the system of policing has been wretched, that it stems from slave catching, right? And that it's been oppressing Black people for centuries and decades, right? Like, yeah. This isn't, when you saw, what you saw in the streets was in response to George Floyd, but it's also in response in LA to Black people being stopped 5 times as more than white counterparts. It's also in response to enhancement and gang databases. It's in response to years and years of oppression and seeing the disparities in our country, in our economy, especially in LA. And then you're giving the police a raise, right?
Yeah. Like
54% of the LA budget is going towards police. That's $3.1 billion.
Right.
Excuse me, we're in the middle of a global pandemic and we couldn't figure out how to get health workers who are risking their lives, protective gear they needed, how to make sure people get tested in time, right? So it's like...
But they got plenty of flashbangs and rubber bullets.
Right, you know, and drums.
So, you know, I think a lot of the work that you do is so important, and the thing about a moment like this, I'm sure, is you see a lot of energy for people to act. And I think a lot of people have the same kind of will to begin to do something. And I think a lot of people, it's the takes I see on social media and like watching other people like, you know what, but what's the next part? Like, what are we going to do next and things like that? And I think, not that there has to be like, this is the one thing, but you know, can you speak a bit to helping people, like what's the vision of the future for people to begin to buy into so they know the kinds of things that their support is going to be needed?
Yeah, that's a good question. The next step is feel your anger, feel your pain, and organize and mobilize, right? We're in the middle of an election year. So you saw yesterday, there was an action at the mayor's house, right? Shutting it down at the mayor's house for the People's Budget LA. And that's simply, we surveyed over 10,000 Angelenos and asked them, what's your priority for a budget? Is it to give the police a raise, or do you want more healthcare, better schools? Do you want to invest in our neighborhoods, make sure that Black communities have an economy of care, Black and brown communities, right? So that's the next step. People's Budget LA, that budget fight we saw yesterday, the budget went into effect, but then you saw right away the city council president tweet and say, like, the budget's not done yet. You know, we still gotta do this work. And it's like, continue plugging in there. Today at 3 p.m., we'll be going to Jackie Lace's office. For 2 years, Black Lives Matter has been organizing this protest, which says, prosecute killer cops. The 601 deaths in L.A. that are officer-involved
deaths. The hands of LAPD.
Right, you know, and so only two of them have even had charges, and none of them have really been prosecuted. There's an election in November where we can get rid of Jackie Lacey once and for all and get someone in the office who actually would take Black trauma, Black death seriously and prosecute people who are killing our people, right? So that's another thing, right? How do we plug in and make sure we're voting in elections? We want to prosecute killer cops. So we want to make sure we're going to get a DA that can do that as well. These are ways you can plug in and channel your anger as well as show up in the streets. Mm-hmm.
Miles, do you think, what do you think are good places for, because I've seen that pointed out as a solution to, or anyone, but as a solution is like to vote on your local elections. Like, do you guys have any resources that people can use to kind of research that local stuff? I just, like, are we just like going with the local paper? To like,
you're saying, how do you avoid the misinformation rather than
the misinformation? Like, because, like you said at the top, like everything, the local news, the local media, everything is so shot through with misinformation and, you know, capitalism and white supremacy that it feels hard. Like, right now, the best way to get access to the information that Pastor Eddie was talking about is on social media. Which, like, typically people are like, don't trust social media, like, social media. But, like, that's the only place that you're finding out the fucking truth right now. Like, so in terms of, like, with the solution, how do we research the solution when everything is so corrupt?
Yeah, I think there's coalitions that have been doing this work in L.A. that you can amplify. So Justice L.A. have been doing the work around, should we close prisons? There's a DA coalition for justice and accountability that's highlighting the DA race. The appeal is doing good work on this as well. And then, of course, follow BLM LA, follow the Movement for Black Lives, follow Reform LA Jails, which is highlighting how can we do this work. Students Deserve is also another organization, LA Voice as well.
But also, I would encourage people to just be as active as possible. If you can't find it, search for it. Mm-hmm. Because it'll be too easy to say, well, I didn't know who to vote for because I couldn't find the thing. Well, start understanding your own community. Start knowing who the people are that maintaining these kinds of systems of oppression. And so, because when you can identify them and their transgressions, it's much easier to say, oh, that's somebody who I shouldn't vote for, even though they might have a D next to their name when I go to the poll. That's not somebody I should vote for. Because I think the next step also, too, is finding... You know, like you said, there's an election coming up. So now is also a very important time to begin demanding more from your leaders as well and say, well, where do you stand on Black lives? And will you out loud in a speech say that systemic white supremacy is an issue? And will you say that out loud to your constituents? Because if you don't, I don't know if I can trust you to solve that problem because you can't even identify it.
Right.
And I think those are the things that we also need to begin to demand more from our leaders as well. And that can be as proactive as calling your representative now and say, hey, I'm going to vote for you, but just so you know, I want an agenda from you as a leader that addresses systemic injustice and racial injustice and all of these things as a voter. That's one thing too.
I think you're straight on, because you know the city council president said, "Oh, we're going to start debate again on 6/8 for the city budget." Right. You can call your elected official, the ones who have been silent during the protests, and say, "Hey, here's the way you can help. You can reinvest the money that you was going to spend on things that we need, on health, on healthcare. You can reinvest it on schools." Right? We're in the middle of a global pandemic. You can shift those resources right now. It doesn't have to be this way.
Right. Pastor Eddie, another thing I want to talk about is your work with the Poor People's Campaign, because that is really a continuation of work that was starting decades ago.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand like what the Poor People's Campaign is as well, because I think we're, you know, a lot of these injustices that we're going to overcome is because we have solidarity. Like we're saying before we had you on, it's not just enough for Black people to let their pain be known and these injustices known. We also need everybody else's help to steer this ship in the right way. So I would love to also give you a second to tell people about the Poor People's Campaign.
Yeah, the Poor People's Campaign is continuing where Dr. Martin Luther King and others started in 1968 when he was assassinated. Nationally is led by my good friend, Reverend William J. Barber and Lithio Harris. It's basically just saying that there are still 145 million poor people in America. In California, that's 1 in 4 children are poor. That's 1 in 4 women are poor. It shows up as Black women in LA spending around 70% of their money on rent. It shows up in an incarcerated systematic incarceration in our systems. And so we're saying we need moral clarity, we need a moral revival, and we need to highlight that poverty does not have to be a problem in this nation, especially in California, where we have the fifth largest economy in the world, and yet we have the second highest homeless rate in the entire nation, right? LA County has the highest homeless rate in any city in the country, right? And we aren't talking about Black Lives Matter. Yeah, Black Lives Matter, because 45% of the people who are on the streets are Black, but yet we're less than 9% of the population in LA.
Yeah, in LA.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what we're really doing to solve the problem. Poor People's Campaign is highlighting that across the country. They're getting ready. We're getting ready for a moral digital march, because we're going to do a march in Washington on June 20th, 2020. That's now online via Zoom, the poorpeoplescampaign.org, to see that info, or you can follow me on Instagram and I'm posting stuff about that as well.
Awesome. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we let you go, Pastor Eddie?
Yeah, I just want to encourage people, continue to show up in the street, continue to protest, make your voice known, follow the movements that are doing the work, put your dollars in those movements as well. People are getting arrested right now. We're in a militarized state. So the curfew, we're hearing every night people are getting arrested. So if you can help bail people out, do that as well. We need your voice. This is your movement, your revolution. And it's time for now to turn up in the streets.
Thanks so much for visiting us, Pastor Eddie. Where can people kind of follow the work you do? And just if they want to direct anybody to anywhere, please let them know.
You can follow me on Instagram. It's Eddie L. Anderson. You can follow BLM LA to figure out the work that's going on, as well as People's Budget LA, poorpeoplescampaign.org.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Sorry, I disappeared. The LA curfew notification came through and knocked me out of Zoom for the last couple minutes of Pastor Eddie's conversation. Apologies. Did you see the footage of the people in Philadelphia, the like roving gangs of white dudes of with bats dudes walking with around bat, yeah. after curfew? Like we talked on yesterday's episode about the kind of racist history of the curfews in America, but that was...
You talk about the racist history of Pennsylvania.
Jesus.
Or America. Whoa. It's like we have to that keep place. Zooming out. You know, like we right. get so... We have so many examples that are the microscopic version that we always try and solve it at the microscopic level when we really need to have the 10,000 foot altitude discussion about all of this, because if we're not addressing all that shit underneath, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah. Cause when y'all asked me what myth I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
The myth that I had was that America likes to act like that the South is the only place that's racist. That's the biggest myth.
Right.
The biggest myth.
Yeah, come to L.A.
It is so amazing. Come to L.A.
Come to L.A. I've lived here.
Come to L.A.
Come on down.
I lived in L.A. before I moved to New York. Guess what? Come to New York. Guess what? Go to Chicago. Guess what? Go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, or Arkansas, or the entire United States of America. So, yeah, I think that's the main myth, and I talk about it all the time, because these Yankees really feel like that they let that they're well what do you well I'm not and like right. That's what I said in my half hour. I know y'all are more racist. Y'all split up white people. Y'all got Italian neighborhoods, Irish neighborhoods. My neighborhood originally Boston. Was a Greek neighborhood, Boston. And I also say to people all the time, people have always heard this. And it's apparently this is something only say I've heard, you know, more than once in my life, and only from white people for the most part. It's you get your bachelor's, they say you get your bachelor's in racism in the South, you get your master's in Boston. So that's a whole different kind. Like y'all are splitting up white people. Who has the time to get that specific with their racism? And I was like, oh, y'all cannot put this on one place in this country. It is wild to me. There were sundown towns all over the country. There's redlining all over the country. Oregon was created as a white haven state.
Mm-hmm.
Black people were not even allowed to live there because the Civil War sympathizer created the state. Confederate sympathizer created the state. So I think that's the big one of the big myths in America.
Right.
Is that we like to act like that racism only occurs in 13 states
mm-hmm.
that are kissed by the sun. No, right. I'm not. I'm over this game. Over this game because there's a map of all of the shootings of unarmed black people. If the South was so much more racist, there should be way more shootings in the South.
Yeah.
And there isn't. It's all over the country.
Right.
Because the police are all over the country. Because black people are all over the country. So and that's another thing is white people not being accountable for what they're doing. Because you can point the finger at them because you already see Southerners as backwards and toothless and shoeless and all of this. Because someone's like, well, that's just what I think about, you know, the South and like, you know, Georgia. And I'm like, we had an Olympics. Stop it. If we was that backwards, they wouldn't have gave us a damn Olympics. Calm the hell down, okay?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we all find...
that's my big myth.
Yeah, and I think it's back to the thing of, like, white supremacy will always find ways of preserving itself by changing the discussion or not having a discussion on white supremacy because, objectively, white supremacy is bad, and there's not a person who could stand on that foot without looking like an absolute, you know, fill-in, you know, alt-right thinker here. But... it's on its face. There's not a person who's going to be like, white supremacy is good. And if you are, that's a very specific person. But if you're not constantly talking about it, you won't be able to begin to see all the ways it's manifesting in our society. And I think that's why we get so caught up. It's going to be a lot easier for people to say, well, change the police and change how we police things and just solve that problem rather than going further out and say, well, no, hold on. The police is already a manifestation of white slavery from its roots in slavery. So we can't even have a discussion about that because we're not going far back enough and we're not looking at the totality of it.
We've all seen enough episodes of Law and Order to know that the police are the first step.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's your first step. The police are the first ones I deal with. The next one that I deal with is the court system. Now, the policing is inherently biased and inherently racist and inherently a tool of white supremacy. The court system is inherently biased, inherently racist, and a tool of white supremacy. Because the main example you can give is the difference in sentencing for powdered cocaine and crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
They're both cocaine. But since this one got cooked, you go to jail longer. But who did it?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about, because one day, you know, I was talking to some people about, you know, white people about this opioid crisis. And me and another black person said, my sympathy for this is going to be a little lacking. And they said, why? I said, because this opioid epidemic has happened and now we're all required, we're all being asked to have sympathy for the addicts. We're supposed to have sympathy for these people. This is a mental health problem. This is an issue. When the crack epidemic happened, you sent people to jail. When the meth epidemic happened, and that was white people, you sent them to jail. You sent black people to jail. You sent poor white people to jail. But because the people that can afford these opioids are middle class and higher, now all of a sudden, we have a health crisis. We've already had two drug epidemics before that. What is the difference now? Yeah. It's what the people look like. What do the addicts look like? because we forget another tool of white supremacy is institutional poverty. Because the greatest thing that the Republican Party ever did was convince poor white people that they had their best interests in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And those same people who don't realize, because I know the American dream don't apply to me. You were the Constitution when Africans were being enslaved. So I know this from day one, this wasn't for me. But if you were white in this country, this document was written for you. But when you think about it, when it was written, when the Constitution was written, only white men who owned land could vote. So if you are currently a poor white person who doesn't own anything, they weren't talking about you. And they've never been talking about you. And yet they've convinced you that the reason that your life is the way that it is, not because they have defunded your neighborhoods, kept your kids uneducated, kept you in a place where you're always going to have to be a servant class to them. They've told you the reason you live like this, because bootstrapping is a myth, we know that. But you've sold them on bootstrapping and told them you live like this because these black people are doing good. You live like this because these immigrants are coming and taking your jobs. It's not us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do anything.
Yeah.
We care about family values. We care about families and the American dream. They're not talking about the fact that they made y'all pull all this coal out of mountain and now there's no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We sent all the factories overseas. There's no jobs.
Yeah. Look whose pockets are fatter. It's not like all the stats that, you know, you look at for black people in this country. It's not that you go, black America is thriving. White people, right, be on alert because I don't know where this money's going. I think it's going to black America. Are you fucking, look at the state of our lives and tell me that we're taking something from you? No. Look at the people, look above you now. Look at the billionaires that padded their pockets during the pandemic somehow. How did that happen?
But 10 rappers got money, so all the black people got
right,
money.
Exactly.
Because remember, we're a monolith.
Yeah.
Me and you, in this conversation, to a lot of people that are listening, me and Miles now represent every single black person in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Jack represents Jack. Jack gets to be one person. We are millions of people on this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. I did an interview and the girl tried to insinuate to me that because I am a quote unquote black celebrity, and she goes, well, you're a celebrity. I said, no, girl, I'm on TV. That's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what do you mean? I said, when I walk into a restaurant, they don't get excited. They ask me how many. So
mm-hmm.
when they start getting excited, that's when I'm going to
know. Yeah.
Instead of saying, ma'am, there's a 15 minute wait. No, I want you to shut the whole restaurant down. Your girl is in the building.
Yeah.
I can't Dulce is coming. It's like, I'm here for your finest tap water.
Yeah.
You know, so, or as my mama liked to call it, house wine. So, but she was trying to insinuate, and she was saying, because I am a black person who is well known, I am dealing with less racism. And I said, you don't understand how this works.
And I heard that shit too growing up because I grew up predominantly around white people, and A, they're not learning that I'm actually diminishing my own blackness to be able to operate in their white space as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm already mm-hmm. like, all it took was a few comments from a teacher to correct the way I spoke for me to say, oh, okay. And so
no, my mama did that.
Yeah.
My mom and my grandma, they're like, no. You are going, you have to speak a certain way if you are going to get a good job.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I was also told that too. That was all, this is all part of the, so you want to make it in America starter kit. First, learn how to make yourself smaller, less imposing, less threatening. Speak as like fucking smiley and wide-eyed as possible so people aren't afraid of you. But then there's this other thing too where people say, well, you're not black, you know? Well, like you're half black or whatever. Let me tell you something. I still see my family being killed when I see black people mistreated. I still see the all this injustice happening as being a part of who I am. It does, that's just based on your media-informed definition of what a black person
No, that's you wanting to be okay with knowing me.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not black, first of all. And that goes, you know, I've talked to various black actors and we've all talked about being in auditions and somebody, we've all seen Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But according to America, there was very much this one drop rule mentality. In some places, it was an actual law. That one drop rule show up, sweetheart, your great, great, great grandmother could have been black. And you're black. That's what the whole movie Showboat is about. So for me, it's, there's no way that I can look at somebody. And, you know, sometimes it is a thing. I think one, people treat what the mixture is differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, you're black and what?
Right.
Because I'm also going to figure out how to take you in as black people. But what they mix with? You mix with what?
What?
Puerto Rican. Ah, it's just niggas that speak Spanish. She's fine.
Right.
Or it's what? Black and white? Hmm. Where did mama stay? Black and Asian?
Right.
Are the kids just pretty? All
right,
fine.
Right.
Like, we have this, like, okay, give me what the other one is so I can figure out how to act. But it's, I'm not, you know, I'm mostly according to the paperwork. And according, because it's like, I have a friend who's half Middle Eastern, half white, but she, her physical features present more as white. So she is treated like a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells people all the time, no, I'm, you know, my father is Middle Eastern. My father is Middle Eastern. And everyone's like, yeah, that's cute.
Right.
So you'd only be taken in as how you look.
Yeah.
And I've lived in a lot, you know, and I've lived in predominantly white places. I've lived in predominantly black places. I've lived in very, but for most of my life, I lived in very mixed. I lived in very mixed like neighborhoods, very mixed middle school, high school. And I grew up in Atlanta. So I'm accustomed to seeing black money. I'm accustomed to seeing black excellence. Been in the King Center, Martin Luther King's house, my brother Ebenezer Baptist Church, did all of this. So you can't tell me that I'm not great. You can't tell me we can't do great stuff. And you have proof that we can.
Yeah.
Because you've seen us do it.
They just spent,
you've seen us do it.
They just spent 5 weeks celebrating it with The Last Dance.
Right. So what are we doing?
Yeah.
And so I think it's gotten to the point where it's just like we're in the middle of the pit. Because this is the hardest thing about what's going on right now. As black people, when these things happen, you get around your friends, you're in a safe space. And I don't know, I always use the term safe space, because all these girls talking about safe space, safe space, safe space. Girl, I'm in America. I ain't nowhere safe. But except my mama's house. That's the limit.
Talking about the pandemic?
Is it the pandemic? It's, and I'm trying to find the best way to explain this. Because I know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever things like this happen, whenever there's this, you know, now we're marching again. And now, you know, even during the march, somebody else got killed. They're not listening to us. They're not paying attention. You have the opportunities to be around other black people. And I don't have to say anything. I don't have to tell somebody I'm okay. I don't have I don't have to go through all of this emotional labor trying to make you feel okay. Cause that's the other part. Cause if they feel like they didn't make us feel better, then now I'm going through the emotional labor, making you feel better for not making me feel better. This is not, this is not fair to me.
Mm-hmm.
You call to make me feel better, man. Hey man, get off my phone. Cause you know what? You're not going to get it. You don't even go to this school. So you're not going to get it. But you have the opportunity, usually when things like this happen, to be around other black people and to be in a space where I don't have to tell you what's wrong.
Right.
And we can heal off the energy of each other and get that little boost that you need to just be like, all right, let's go do this again.
Right.
And now we're in a pandemic. So it's, I can't be around my friends. I can't get that recharge. I can't get that that thing of, you get it.
Yeah.
Nothing I'm not has to be on said. My phone yell. Right. I'm not yelling into the void of the internet. it, you're just like, you just get to sit there and you're just like, I am with black people. I am good. I am, even if we're in a, even if we're at a comedy club, we're in a white space. All of us are here and everybody here gets it.
Yeah.
And it's a way to heal and to recharge. And we can't do that right now. And that's one of the hardest parts about this.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about the numbers might go back up with the COVID because of the protests. And I'm just like, what is, I want a refund. Next year needs to be also called 2020 because we need a do-over.
Yeah, I know.
History will show that it was 2020 and then it was 2020 part two.
Yeah.
Everybody's the same age. You ain't getting no older. Fuck your Zoom birthday party. This did not happen. We're doing a reset.
Don't print 2021 calendars just yet.
No.
Just put the 2020s back.
All over again. Because something slipped in the matrix. I don't know whose God you pissed off, but they mad.
Well, Dulce, it has been amazing having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, honestly.
Thanks, friends.
Yeah, thank you.
All time great, great guest. We were so excited to have you on, and it was amazing having you. Where can people find you and follow you and check you out?
I'm on the winner. I'm on the interwebs at Dulce Sloan, DulceSloan. I also have a new podcast that just started in April called That Black Ass Show. Mm-hmm. Miles, I would have to have you on.
I would love to come on.
So basically, it is a podcast about black TV shows and films, and even, you know, black plays that have, you know, shaped the world and continue to shape the world. And I've talked to the episode that it comes out every Wednesday. So yesterday, we put out the episode with Yasser Lester, and we were talking about Tales from the Hood. And first of all, a movie has never scared me as much as that movie did, which is why it's so scary. And I don't do horror movies. It was awful. But there's four vignettes in it. And the first vignette is about police brutality. So we, you know, talk about the four different vignettes in the movie and how they're relevant to what's going on right now. And I've talked to like Ron Funches about Fear of a Black Hat. I talked to Thea Vidal about her show Thea and how, you know, back in the mid 90s, she was fighting to get black writers on her show, and which is crazy because we're still having that same fight. So, yep. And it's on Starburns Audio and it's on Spotify and the iTunes.
Amazing.
And just catch me when I'm on the Daily Show, when I'm on the Daily Show. Yeah. Sometimes I know when I'm going to be on. Sometimes I don't know when I'm going to be on.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying or want people to check out?
Well, I'm a huge fan of them there cat videos. love a cat video. There's a comic in Vancouver named Hassan Phils, and his Instagram is called Filling Myself. And his Instagram has been my favorite thing to watch during quarantine. There was a push-up challenge he was doing, and he was like, what? Can't come for me. And he does push-ups with two hands, and then he does push-ups with one hand, and then he tries to do push-ups with no hands, and then he just falls on his deck and rolls, and he's just going, And it's very silly. He has conversations with himself like he's with his homeboy. It's I love it. So it's very funny. I love him.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. Also, my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, where, you know, as you get high, talk about 90 Day Fiancé, help soothe our wounds. Some tweets that I like. The first one is from The Onion. It's a picture of Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York. It says, de Blasio, it is an honor to have my daughter doxxed by the greatest police force in the world. This dude, that is pretty on the nose. And then another one at some gizmo, it said, Antifa is an organization the same way that, quote, people who hate Dave Matthews Band, end quote, is an organization.
All right. You can find me and follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. I'll just go with at Karen Han tweeted, hey, New York Times, what the fuck is this? And it was the op-ed from Tom Cotton. Just said, send in the troops.
Oh, yeah, that was
The New York Times continues to lose its way.
Wait, what happened?
Tom Cotton has been like the spokesperson other than Trump for let's use the military to, you know, enforce, to abuse the
for these people protests. Asking for rights.
Yes. And they gave him an op-ed. Mm. They let him go on their op-ed page and say, send in the troops.
Yeah. The whole piece starts, this week, rioters have plunged many American cities into anarchy. That's the first sentence of this thing. Get the... And this is what I'm talking
about.
That's not happening. No.
That's not...
I also like the tweet from the person who is in the same building as Meghan McCain, and Meghan McCain was like, I walked outside of my building, and it was sheer chaos.
Girl.
She's like painting a picture.
I saw that, and I just went, like, it's, sometimes God moves quick. You understand? Sometimes the Lord just comes through and go, we ain't gonna, some certain things we ain't gonna live.
I invited you to my wedding.
Invited you to my wedding. It's like, girl, we live in the same building. You're fine. Yeah, but the audacity to even type out a lie like that.
Yeah. Well, because again, and I hate to come back into the content of the show, but they need this version of what is happening out here to delegitimize what the reason is for this uprising. So then all they can do is be like, I don't know, people are mad and they're just burning stuff down. This is really ridiculous. And every time
you saw the Patagonia store in Santa Monica where the boy left on a skateboard and his friend pulled off on a motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that wasn't us. No. Come on now. No.
And that's why the police were fine with that. They were more focused on the people fighting white supremacy, not stealing.
The guy
shit.
Was like, "Are you with Black Lives Matter?" And he was like, looked at him and went, "Zeow." Like, yeah. I don't have to answer this question. Yeah. Bitch, I got a skateboard. Like, I mean, a surfboard, a whole surfboard.
Yeah, there's one.
You don't think that look? It's L.A. It's not gonna look suspicious if you're holding a surfboard and a motorcycle. Never mind. I digest.
Okay, that was it. Wait, I think, Jack, you were saying... Oh, that's right. We got spun off from the Tom Cotton thing.
Yeah. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
Oh, just, you know, I just need things that sound good, feel good, have a good message. So this is one of my favorite Bob Marley songs, Small Axe, where the lyrics are, if you are a big tree, then we are a small axe, ready to cut you down. Mm. And I think that's just, we have to just, keep your ears and eyes open, and please don't, this energy is going to have to continue. That's the only thing I can keep saying. That's all I can say.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to you then.
Why both that I said? Oh, you know me. Playing smart and not being clever. I said you're working iniquity to achieve vanity. But the goodness of Jaja, I fear it for us.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.